The title for my devotion today is taken from a verse in Ephesians, which reads, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." One of the key issues that continues to arise during the daily press reports on the coronavirus pandemic given on BBC television by the British government is the lack of personal protective equipment, otherwise known as PPE. How vital it is when we see a number of frontline hospital staff dying from the coronavirus. What makes it more poignant is that the doctors and nurses have to discard many of the items they use each day and replace them with a new set at the commencement of each shift, and then change in the outer gown before attending their next patient. It has become a logistical challenge for the suppliers and transport companies. As the government keeps reminding us, the primary need to wear this protective clothing is to save lives. The protective clothing needs to be designed and made of quality materials and fit well to ensure no germs get through to contaminate the doctors, nurses, and support workers. Once they are fully kitted out, they can confidently go about the duty of attending the sick ones, those suffering with the deadly virus. We understand the virus can either be transmitted from the mouth, which breathes out the germs, or it can be transmitted by the hands, touching objects with others in turn can then touch and pick up the germs. We as God's children, while living in this sin-stricken world, seeking to witness and show what it is to be a child of God, are in danger of being contaminated. We can be misled and tempted to fall for Satan's schemes. My mind was taken to the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians, when he spoke about the vital need for protection against the warring devices of Satan. He instructs his fellow Christians to put on the full spiritual armour, as Paul explains in Ephesians 6:12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Just like the coronavirus, which is an invisible evil germ, the god of this world, Satan, is propagating his evil intentions, invisibly poisoning the minds and hearts of mankind. The apostle tells us the consequences of following Satan's devious ways by saying in Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." The doctors and nurses are seeking to save life by working from the outside in, but Jesus worked from the inside out through the Holy Spirit, bringing a life-changing change within the heart. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." How can we be reconciled to God? We read in Romans 10:9-10. "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Jesus gave up his life to save life. He said in John 10:9-11, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Apostle Paul warns all of Jesus' followers to put on their protective armour, especially those on the front line, those preaching the gospel, fighting the disease of sin. He says in Ephesians 6:10, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We learn in the following verses what armour we need to put on to be strong, to enable us to fight with strength and agility. The apostle proceeds to use the various parts of the armour used by the Roman soldiers to illustrate its importance and protective nature. We read in Ephesians 6:10 to 18, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." We have recently received a wonderful testimony on video from a young missionary family, Ken and Kendra Doubt, working in Nicaragua. You can find their story by going to EngageNicaragua.org. In late March this year, 2020, Kendra had been asking the Lord, "Please show me a way how I can be of use during this epidemic." Shortly afterwards, she received a telephone message from a missionary colleague in Colorado who had back in 2015 made a visit to the mission in Nicaragua. Seeing the needs, he began raising money to collect aid, which included medical supplies. Then began the difficult task of raising the necessary paperwork to ship the goods by container to a port in Nicaragua. They went through many difficulties getting this container over to Nicaragua. The container did not arrive in the port until August 2019, where the container was impounded. It was not allowed to pass through customs and fell into abandonment because the paperwork or documentation was not according to the law. The friend in Colorado had recently contacted the Doubt family, asking them if they could possibly make inquiries as to why this container had been impounded. Having made a number of inquiries, they discovered it was in the port of Madagascar. Kendra went and visited the port and spoke to a member of the staff. He informed Kendra that the container was waiting to be auctioned. After some discussion, the port member permitted her to look inside the abandoned container. On opening the rear door, she alighted on many boxes and noticed one box had written on it, "Medical face masks." It was a miracle. Having checked up on what paperwork did exist, the complete consignment in the container was intact. Hundreds of items, including 50,000 medical face masks, 44,000 gloves, as well as nebulators, to name a few. With joy and godly fervor, Kendra continued in her video, "We serve a God who loves us. He knows exactly the storm we are facing. He knows in 2015 there would be testings and complications in sending these goods just to hold up this container for such a time as this. Then for God to guide Kendra to where the container was impounded and witness the release of the container, enabling 19 hospitals much-needed medical supplies. He is Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. You can listen to this video or see this video if you wish to contact me, and I will forward it on. The doctors and nurses on the front line fighting this virus did not just need protective clothing, but the whole area where they are working needed to be an environment of cleanliness. When seeking to witness to those of our families and friends, we cannot expect a good response from them if our way of life is not clean and healthy. We have to be living a pure life in order to be effective, because our conduct can either show what the world does, or we can be imitators of Christ. As we have already said, the coronavirus germ comes either on the air we breathe or through transmission through what we touch with our hands. In order for these nurses and doctors to be able to attend and treat their patient effectively, they all will have spent a number of years studying and training to be qualified for the task. If we are going to be effective in coming alongside the world who do not know where they are going when they die, we need to take time to study God's word. The young trainee doctors and nurses will have also been given the opportunity to work alongside a qualified person who would be given much needed hands-on training sufficient for them to know how to minister to the world. I think of Moses and Joshua. We read in the book of Exodus how Joshua spent many years assisting Moses, who trained him up in the task of leader. Yet when it came time for Joshua to take over, Joshua's role was slightly different to the experience Moses experienced. Moses had led the children of Israel these 40 years in the desert, facing many trials and preparing the people, awaiting a certain generation to die, who were very rebellious, filled with a knowledge of idol worship they had learned from the Egyptians. But a new generation would come along, who Joshua would lead. God gave Joshua a new vision. Joshua was to lead the children of Israel into the promised land of Canaan. But in order to accomplish that, Joshua and the men of the tribes of Israel would have to face many trials as they would meet an enemy and fight their way into the new promised land. I strongly believe we're in the generation who will be led by God to be taken into our promised land, a place of peace and joy, which will last for eternity, heaven itself. God needs men and women who need training up, as the Apostle Paul says to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 1-10. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I enable everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. In these verses, I note two significant phrases that sum up what is in Paul's heart. First, he says in verse 3, join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And then he says, but God's word is not chained. We are here on the earth as God's ambassadors. The enemy we are fighting is the majority as far as the world is concerned. But with God, we are the majority. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Yes, the weapons we have is the word of God. And within each child of God, we have his divine power within us, the Holy Spirit. How we need to embrace again the words of Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then what does Paul say in the second part of this verse? Well, 2 Timothy 2:9. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The apostle was encouraging Timothy to fight the good fight of faith, but with the prime reason that men and women should hear the gospel. If we were able to spend just a short while in one of the intensive care units, often described as the ITU, we would see at times the doctors and nurses will feel under great pressure when a patient is suffering, but we would normally see an atmosphere of calmness and a sense of duty as each doctor and nurse all together working closely together. They will be working as a team, side by side, busy doing what is necessary to save the life of a patient. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we should be seeking to save lives, to show the way of salvation, seeking to point men and women to Jesus, to ask them into their lives and receive eternal life. How Jesus emphasizes that we need to be united in love, together as a church, working together to win the lost. Jesus prayed shortly before he died in John 17, verses 20 to 22. My prayer is not for them alone. This is the people before. But he goes on to say, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one, as we are one. One of the key areas of concern for the doctors and nurses in enabling the patient with the coronavirus to get sufficient oxygen to breathe easily. The key to receiving the gift of eternal life is to allow the oxygen of the Holy Spirit into the heart and soul of those open to the gospel, which will transform and give the breath of new life into the lives of folk who respond to the message. It is by what the doctors say to encourage and reassure the patient, and what they do with their hands, that enables the doctors and nurses attending the patient to receive that vital feed of oxygen. While we are there on the front line seeking to witness, all the while we should be speaking life into our hearers and using our hands in practical ways to show God's love. In order to try and combat the coronavirus, one or two countries, including Britain and Wales, are experimenting with plasma therapy. Blood is taken from patients who have recovered from the virus, and by transfusion the plasma has been injected into the bloodstream of seriously ill patients. This strengthens the patient's immune system, enabling them to have more strength to fight the disease, with a number of patients recovering within days. What an illustration of what the blood of Jesus achieved. By his death on the cross, by his experiencing the suffering and shedding his blood, he is able to give us new life, as the hymn writer richly asks, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" A man who recently recovered from COVID-19 in Ireland testified how God cured him from the disease and sent a cleaner despite the isolation. Lee was in the hospital in a critical condition due to COVID-19. This is what he said. "I was under incredible pressure, got drips up and all that they needed to do," he recalled, "but I remembered those nights particularly really crying out to the Lord and asking him to help me, and asked him to even supernaturally just do something that would encourage me and bring me through. While fighting the virus, he experienced horrendous nights. He was in the isolation ward where no one else was allowed to go in. When no one else, no pastor, no friend, no family members. When no one else was allowed in, God sent a cleaner," he said. A cleaner suddenly came in and Lee described him as a ray of sunshine. He talked to him and encouraged him. And when he was about to leave, he turned around. Then the cleaner surprisingly shared that he had been a missionary in Nigeria for 14 years. He began to tell me how God had saved many, many souls through his ministry. And just these last couple of years, he'd found himself back home in Northern Ireland, Lee narrated. The missionary encouraged him and told him about the love of Jesus and the love of God. Stunned and amazed by what he heard, he said in tears, "Whoa, when God needs to reach you, he knows exactly who is the right person." And in that moment of time, it was a cleaner. No one else could get in. God sent a cleaner. The missionary even offered to pray for him at the door and asked the Holy Spirit to visit Lee and heal his body and touch his lungs. He stood at that doorway and he pleaded with God Almighty to spare my life and to continue to use me. And then he left. He testified, "From time to time, the missionary would walk past by Lee's window and give him the thumbs up. Also, during that same night, Lee's health started to turn around." He said, "Could it have been the prayer of a cleaner?" Later on, Lee's strength returned and so did his appetite. On one occasion, he specifically asked God for a food that he especially craved. "I asked the Lord, because no one could get to me, I said, 'Lord, is it possible that you could get me a packet of prawn cocktail crisps and a can of Coke?'" The next morning, the cleaner came and brought in a bag. He was shocked when what was inside with two oranges, a can of Coke and a packet of prawn cocktail crisps. Don't tell me that God doesn't know. God knows our every need. He knows our every desire, he informed. The cleaner passed the bag through the door and told Lee, "It's a gift from the Lord." God is a God, folks, who is personal, and he knows the deepest desire of our hearts, Lee told the viewers. He then thanked the cleaner for hearing the voice of God as well. Lee ended the video leaving a message for believers to fix their eyes on Jesus. Moreover, he addressed those who didn't know Jesus Christ to give their lives to him. What a powerful testimony. The world needs to hear this. You can listen to Lee's testimony going to YouTube and insert in the title, Man with COVID-19 was dying, then God sent a cleaner. When we are fitted out with God's armour, we can then use our mouths and hands in seeking to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ and by heeding the words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1:3-8. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take note what Peter said in verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here, the apostle is guaranteeing we will be effective and fruitful if we follow these guidelines. I am sure we all want to be effective and productive soldiers of Jesus Christ in whatever way God has gifted us. Remember, it does not mean we have to be the evangelists, teachers, or leaders of the church whose duty it is to share the good news of eternal life. God sent a cleaner into this intensive care unit. The doctors and nurses were seeking to save human life. Yet here was a cleaner who had such an opportunity to share the way of eternal life. What a privilege he had to share the story of God's saving grace. Hallelujah! What a saviour! I'm reminded of an old song which asks us a question. Oh, where are the reapers that garner in the sheaves of the good from the fields of sin? With sickles of truth must the work be done, and no one may rest till the harvest's home. Go out into the highways and search them all. The wheat may be there, though the weeds are tall. Then search in the highways and pass none by, but gather from all for the home on high. The fields all are ripening, and far and wide. The world now is waiting the harvest tide. But reapers are few, and the work is great, and much will be lost should the harvest wait. So come with your sickles, you sons of men, and gather together the golden grain. Toil on till the Lord of the harvest come, then share you his joy in the harvest home. Where are the reapers? Oh, who will come and share in the glory of the harvest home? Oh, who will help us garner in the sheaves of good from the fields of sin? God bless you all. Stay safe. Amen.